You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 how's everybody doing? This is It's Casual. We're coming out here to Sherman Oaks, California. We're your fully interactive show. We're going to talk United, little footy culture, lifestyle, shenanigans, and all that good stuff. I want everybody to know we are brought to you by Bologna Milken LLP, a personal injury litigation firm with over a decade of experience. Real results. Maximize your compensation with us. Call us at 747-444-4444. How's everybody doing? I'm Casey Gale. Yes, I am a red. I'm in positive mood. I'm going to introduce you to my guys tonight. First, we got Mikey coming to you from Atlanta. Mikey, come on in. Big Mikey, pause. I'm just joking. Mikey's here. Across from me is Germ. Mikey, go ahead. Talk to the people. Tell me how you're doing today.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Big Mikey, representing that Atlanta, Manchester United supporters club. The best supporters club in the nation.
Oh, wow. That's Scotty's hometown. That's Scotty FC.
Home of Scott McTominay, Bruno Fernandez. And you know what I'm saying? I'm just here. How y'all doing, man? Everything good?
We're good. Germ, and across from me is my man Germ here out of Los Angeles. He is a LA Red Army member, the finest supporter club in the whole country. And we wear that title very well. Germ, how we doing, my brother?
We're doing good. Representing the LA Red Army over here.
Yeah, you know it. LA Red Army, stand up. You know how we do. You know how we do. So, guys, here we are. 3 points, beating Luton. We should be really positive. I'm actually positive. You know, when you go into these games, you want to see things, and you want to see people perform. And I think in some aspects, we've seen some things we wanted. We saw early goals. We got out to a 2-goal lead. It was very excited, but by the 14th minute, we already had given up a goal, and we've given up all thoughts of, I don't know, keeping the ball. It seemed like we were working hard to not have the ball. I don't know how you guys thought. I'm just going to tell you the mood that was around me. Everybody was pretty much frustrated with the play style. We were pretty much frustrated with the basically just giving up the game. After the first 2 goals, it was just like, I mean, we had moments we were going to try. We played well. I'm not going to lie. Let me take that back. In the second half, I thought we had the best opportunities in the game. I just thought we weren't clinical enough, and that was the disappointing thing about it. I don't know how you felt about it. In your end, Mike, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell me how you felt about the game. But I'm just going to end it by saying I am positive. We're 3 points behind Tottenham. I'm not saying that's an indicator, but we are, what, 6 games on the bounce or something like that, Mikey? I'm not too sure. You tell me.
Unbeaten in 2024, 6 games. Yeah, undefeated so far. ETH is doing a good job now.
And I'm gonna say one thing. You are the vet. I'm going to go ahead and salute you. You have been the one proponent for Erik ten Hag. You've always been the one to say, listen, when he's had injuries. And I've been the guy, I put my hand up, I've been the one to say, no. Tottenham got injuries too, they played well. But as you see how things are progressing, teams that have suffered injuries, it's starting to fall off. You're starting to see a little drop off. And you're the one person, I'm going to give you your props to say, just everybody calm down. Let Erik ten Hag get his guys back. And you're right, there has been a difference. The difference is we're winning games.
And we're scoring goals, because before we were nicking victories either 1-0 or we were having to go find a goal out of nowhere. But we're getting team goals in. We're getting good quality chances. And I think we have a good coach. I know the whole world, because it seems more and more growing sentiment that our coach is shit. But my biggest thing has constantly been, as I've said, is these guys aren't at the level of a City. They aren't at the level of a Arsenal. They aren't at the level of even a Liverpool. Like, our level is where we are now, and around 4-6, right? I think we could beat any team for any day, given home or away. I feel like from 4-6, 4-10, all the way down, we can beat any team in that realm, right? But when we start going to the big sides that are going to come and play with a style, they're not going to let us dominate. They're not going to let us counterattack them. They're not going to let us do anything and breathe on the ball. That's when we start running into issues. So I really, if you watch my video with Flex in New York, I said top four and FA Cup, and we're in contention to do both of those. So come on.
Jeremy, you know, Mikey said that, you know, some good stuff there. From your aspects, how did you feel what you got out of the game? What do you think? The positives and the negatives for you? I mean,
that was pretty positive. I mean, we got the W. We got the win. We came out of there with the win. The positive is that the youngsters keep on developing. Kobe Mayno, Garnacho as well. Those are the positives that I take. Evans came out, brought in a shift. So the positives is that the team looks like they're gelling well together, because they're having more time together. So those are the positives that I get out. I mean, we're trending towards the right direction. Rasmus scored in again. So that's the positive, that we got ourselves as a legit striker. That's the positive. A legit striker. He needs to get fed a little bit more for my take, but I'm still going to take the goals, man. I'm still going to take that positive out of there.
I mean, what's crazy is his conversion rate right now. It's insane. I remember Anthony Martial had a crazy conversion rate, and that's something I used to be like, man, you get this man, if he plays, he gets service, he produces. Rasmus is on a different level. So it's like, yeah, he had two goals, but he's still not getting the right amount of services, because I think Garnacho had about six shots. I'm not too sure, but these are the shots that Rasmus needs to get. And I think some ways we're still not feeding the big man enough, and in some ways we're still not clinical enough. I mean, we had about four goals, or I think, I know Garnacho had maybe two with one-on-one with a goalie. I know Bruno had like one.
Garnacho had about, I believe, about two chances. So there was some shots that looked like they should have gone in. We should have been up about 4-0 at one point. You are right. We're not as clinical.
Do you think that's going to be a problem down the road, Mikey, or do you think that's something we're going to fix as time goes on? We're going to get those kinks out, because I actually think we're going to get better. Because this team, to me, Garnacho, Rasmus, Kobe, wow, I feel like I'm Casemiro, these guys have the, let's say, the game aptitude to understand that we need to feed Rasmus more. I think he needs to be the focal point. What do you think about that, Mike? How do you think? Do you think it was something this is to get better at, or we're just putting too much into it?
I'm taking it at a game-by-game, opponent-by-opponent basis, because we have this – in this fan base, we have this this way of getting very excited about things. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, oh, Rasmus, and people were writing Rasmus off and all this other stuff. Rightfully so. He hadn't scored in 14 games outside the Champions League. But, you know, I think he's still a work in progress. He's 20 years old, you know what I'm saying? And we still don't have our full attacking prowess to go. Like, we've been getting goals, and it's been fun. It's been good. It's good to see. But the attacking will get better over time once we really – to be fair, I'm a little shocked with Bruno Fernandes.
Good segue.
I'm very shocked with him. He drops a lot of stinkers, and he's older now. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's going to be the focal point for our attack. That's going to lead. He's the translation from the midfield to the forward position. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if we're going to take that next step to be of those top three teams, to be in that little realm up there where those guys are, they have that 10, or they have that attacking player that can unlock defenses and make shit happen, you know what I'm saying? He has to be the focal point of that. Yeah, it starts and ends with him.
But do you attribute that to Bruno logging in too many minutes these past few seasons, and it's starting to wear on him?
It has to. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt Mikey, but let me jump on this real quick. It has to. It has to wear on him. The man has clocked the most minutes out of anybody in the world for the last 2 years. Yes, Bruno's our captain. Yes, he gives us effort. But at some point, I remember Mikey would say, or someone said last week when we were talking about Martinez playing through an injury, and the topic was, is it the player demanding the play? That's why they're putting him out there. at some point, someone has to step in and intervene. And I know I was talking about the team doctor last week. Well, I'm going to put it on the coach this time. Someone has to step in and tell Bruno, chill out, bro. You're doing, at least he doesn't have to play 90 minutes the whole time, Mikey. The man plays 90 minutes every game.
I mean, if you're not hurt, if you can, the thing is, it's not, I don't think it's a matter of him playing too many minutes, because I don't think any player benefits from being out. You know what I'm saying? I think more for me is, I think Bruno's that we've, and people are going to hate me for saying this, of course. I'm not here to be liked. But what people don't realize with Bruno is that I think that's, he might not be the guy to take us forward. You know what I'm saying? I think he's very, so people see his goal record. They see his goal scoring record, his assist record, and they go crazy. And it's like, how much of these things are against top quality opponents? And a lot of the times it's not. It's not against top quality. It's Europa League opponents. It's bottom tier. He will go in and have a fucking wonderful game against Burnley and then not be anywhere for Liverpool. Or he'll have a great game against Crystal Palace and not be anywhere for City. You know what I'm saying? It's like big game players, consistent players do it at a level. And granted, he doesn't have the best team around him. I just don't believe in Bruno as much as other people do now. And I just feel like his level is where it starts and stops with him. So if he doesn't increase his level, I love the output, but you know, that game against Luton was shocking, bro. It was shocking.
Yeah, but Jeremy, Mikey doesn't believe fatigue is hindering the man. I believe I think he's physically fatigued, because like Bruno takes risk. We want Bruno to take risk. But when you're physically fatigued, your mind plays tricks on you. You start doing things that you want to try. Because in this game, there's a play that time was running out, and Bruno takes a shot.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And turns it over when we're supposed to keep the ball and run out the clock. So to me, it's not, I don't want to say it's decision-making, but I feel like he's just fatigued. That's been a situation where he should have been subbed out the game.
And you mentioned fatigue. I don't think it just has to do with physical fatigue. It could be mental fatigue too.
The man has played the most. That has to break you down at some point. No one is Iron Man. Ain't none of us out here going to be just running, running, running. He needs a break.
He needs a break. And also something that I see with Bruno's game, I believe that Bruno's game is not conducive to a possession-based team.
That's very true.
His attributes are going to show more with a counter-based type of a team. A team that Ole had, right? Just counterattack. So you see his attributes flourish more in that style of play. The way we see the game played, right? It looks like the coach is telling them, once you get the ball, just shoot it out to your forwards, get it out wide, and just let the guys go out and create chances.
It does look like that at times.
That's conducive to his game.
This is what goes with Mikey says, what you're saying at the end here, that Bruno's never been great in possession. And maybe through time, his decision-making is getting worse. I mean, Mike, what a lot of people say about Bruno is he's not getting better in possession. And this is somebody we should be counting on as a leader to make better decisions, especially with all these youngsters around. These guys have to be the ones to show him the way. We can't have Kobe doing better decisions than Bruno.
Kobe's the one that he's solid back there. He's recycling the ball, making just a simple pass to keep possession. And yeah, Bruno's the one that is going out wide, doing some risky stuff that, you know, puts us sometimes in a very compromising position in a defensive standpoint. And defensively, we are lacking some because we don't have, you could say, our best defender in there, right? Martinez. So that just kind of shows you more of our, you know.
I think this solution with Bruno, me personally, just cut his minutes. He doesn't have to play 90 minutes. You can pull him out of the 70th minute. I guarantee you will see a better Bruno. I don't know. Mikey thinks that Bruno, we should move on. But we move on for Bruno, that's going to be a next season movement. That's not going to be something we can solve this year.
That's not what I said. I didn't say move on from him. I just don't think he's the level that... What I really heard was you guys making excuses for him.
Saying that a man gets tired is making excuses for him.
Yeah. So he plays one game a week. So he's tired. So how many games should he play? Well, we were playing 2 games a week he was playing still, and he was playing like this. Now he's playing less games a week.
Yeah, but still, he's still putting in the most minutes.
You're a professional. These are your words. You're a professional.
Yeah, but professionals...
You train, and if you need the break, you got to say it. At the detriment, you're a leader of the team now.
A player's not going to say that.
You're supposed to say, hey... Not feeling. They do it in FIFA. Look at the game. When you play FIFA, right? And you play manager mode. There's a part of it. They'll be like, "Hey, I'm not feeling my best. I want to sit down." You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm joking around when I say
that. Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
As a leader, you got to do what's best for the team, right? And everybody's gonna want to play. But you're playing 1 game a week now. You're not in 2 games a week. You're not playing 3 games in 10 days. You're not doing that. Right, and for some reason, when we were doing that, you were showing up a lot more. But now we're playing 1 game a week. So, like, what's going to be the excuse then when it's like, all right, we cut his minutes and he's not as effective because he doesn't have match sharpness? I just feel like at a certain point, I don't have nothing against the guy. I don't think he should be our captain. But that game against Luton, when he's on a breakaway and he has a man to his right and left, and he volleys the ball crazily. It's a simple through ball pass to lead the man onto the ball so he could cut it and score. Either one, Garnacho or Rashford, could have taken it in. Rashford was the more appealing choice. He skies it. And it's like, bro, what is that? What is that? And you do that a lot more times than not. But what will happen is he'll score a goal, right? And then we'll forget. We will forget. Oh, Bruno, yeah. Mikey, shut the fuck up. See what Bruno did this, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. It's just like when Scott scores a goal, we lose our minds. But it's like,
Atlanta loses their minds.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loses their mind when Scott scores. The whole world loses their mind when he scores. But real ones know he's not a midfielder for real. He's not. He's somebody you throw on and say, get forward. And so, you know, Bruno's not quite that. But I don't know. I'm okay with looking at our options in the midfield. I think we need a couple of options there. And I think Bruno, he's 29 years old.
I mean,
he's set in his ways.
Mike, who would you put in there then? Who would you replace him in our current squad? Because who would you replace him with? You can't get anyone right now to this point. So who in our squad would you put in?
Oh, that's the thing. You're right. You're 100% right. We don't have anybody to put in. So that's why in the beginning I said he needs to raise his level. He needs to be the guy that you guys think he is, because I don't think he's that, because we don't have a guy to look to the bench. Erickson's on half a heart right now. You know what I'm saying?
I think Mount was supposed to be that guy, but he's out.
Another thing I believe he needs. I believe, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. He just can't play 60 minutes, so, you know.
I believe he needs competition as well. He is probably the only one in his position where he doesn't have a competition, a viable competitor to say he's going to take minutes away from me. It could be complacency, feeling that, well I can shoot like this or like that. I can do any error, and I'm not going to get taken off the pitch. Who is ETH going to put in there?
I mean, that's very true. Anytime a guy knows, if he knows deep down in his heart, I'm not going to get pulled out, you don't really have that fear of a mistake. So that could be part of it too, but I'm telling you, fatigue affects everything. You get the man has to be showing signs of fatigue.
1 game,
but still, your legs are putting these miles on. It's not like just because you're getting the whole week off, he's still going to be more tired than the other guys. He's gonna break down quicker than everybody because he's always out there. He's always running, and I think that's something Erik ten Hag's going to have to fix. But there's no one there to fix it. Let's talk about. Well, and the thing was troubling about Bruno, I'm going to end it on this. We used to be able to watch him and say, okay, he looked like he had a stinker game, but then the statistics would prove that different. This game was one of the first games I've seen where statistically he was horrible. He was trash. So I think it's all catching up to him now. Bruno is becoming a situation. I don't want to say it's a problem, but it's a situation because he's the guy that we lean on as for a motor. He's the guy we lean on as supposed to be a leader. And then he's not doing the clinical things. Let's say clinical. He's causing us problems because that shot that he made, it was incredible. Everybody's like, why would he do that? Because he gave the possession right away, right back to them. And it was just something we're supposed to run on the clock. And then it goes back to you, what Mikey and you were saying. There's no one else to replace him. Let's talk about guys who came in this game. I thought Johnny Evans was magnificent. I'm more impressed with him the more I see him play. And it was crazy about it. I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be on his team. He just, it's like he walked on and earned a scholarship. Johnny Evans shows that you don't have to be, and this probably goes back to the Bruno, you don't have to be in peak, top, fast, physical shape to get it done. If you have game awareness and you can read a game, you'll be effective. I think goes back to what Mikey was saying. Johnny is an example for Bruno. Bro, just get better at studying the game, and the game will come to you.
I also don't want to be prisoner of the moment, though. I do appreciate the shift he put in, but you also have to realize the opponent he was playing against and what we're asking of him of, right? So we're asking him just to stay there, just a fan, don't do anything fancy. Just he's just a body there to make sure that he's there to help out Varon, right?
Yeah.
But if we're asking him to go against City or Liverpool, play out the back.
Yeah, they're going to try to expose him.
Play a high line. We can't ask that of him, right? So he did what he had to do, go in there, put in a good shift, but also we cannot get carried away. It was Luton Town.
Yeah, true. And that's a fair point. Luton played their best shift. They tried their hardest, but we're more quality than them. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to beat those Luton Towns.
Although they do have given the top teams a pretty good match.
Yeah, they're.
I think, they've either tied or won 2-1 also with City and Liverpool as well.
They've been tough. It's been tough to beat there, and because of that whole the demographics of the stadium, it's dimensions. It's a small pitch. The crowd's right on. So it's a little bit of adjustment. Me personally, if you're playing in a bigger stadium, I think the only problem is that small pitch that really causes problems. But other than that, we just checked out. You know, we haven't been a team to play good with the lead yet. Not yet.
Oh no. I was looking for that third goal. It never came. And, I mean, I had that, for lack of a better word, fear when they were up 2-0 right away. I just had a feeling that Luton was just going to play a little bit more free because it's like, okay, we're down 2-0.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
Yeah.
I honestly thought we were going to batter him more. I don't know.
And it looked for a second like we were getting, I don't know if this is the right word either, complacent when it was 2-0. It's like, all right, we're up 2-0. We can just shoot from wherever. I mean, we're going to beat them. They're going to roll over. That was not the case. You got to go in there and just kill them.
How'd you feel at 2-0? Did you feel comfortable or you felt like it was good? I mean, it's hard to say because it was so early when everything happened. You know what I'm saying, Mikey? Everything jumped off so quick.
I never feel comfortable with this team up 2 goals because we have a tendency to leak goals at the back, and then I don't know if it's complacency or anything like that, but I was saying at the pub at the time, I was like, all right, we're up 2 goals, but let them get one back, and then we'll start seeing who we really are. We'll start. Now, granted, I want to say this because people have been losing their minds a little bit, and they're like, oh, Luton played us off the park, and da-da. I'm like, just like with Liverpool when we drew them, we had the more gilt edge chances.
Of course. We did.
Like, as much as they had possession, which is a shame, we're Man United and they're Luton and they're supposed to be going down, they're at home and they're down. So, like, just like Germ said, they had all right to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take it to you now. I have nothing to lose. I'm playing Man United at home. This is a big game and I'm in front of my fans. But we had the better chances of the game. You got to take your chances, though. So I'll say that. Just like with Liverpool. People are, like, making a big deal of Liverpool, how many shots they had. Brother, we had the two most definitive shots of the game. People think a shot or having possession in the box or whatever and just being under the cosh is, like, this big thing that shouldn't happen against any team. It's going to happen. These guys are professionals. It's going to happen. Anybody on their day can score a goal against you. They scored a goal against us. Cool. I just never thought we would capitulate. I felt like we defended for our lives. It wasn't the best defending, but I didn't feel like, oh, okay, we're going to give up a goal here. We defended well at corners. We did pretty decent. We didn't play well, but I didn't feel scared. But also, I know this team.
Yeah, this team is very concerning when we have the lead, because when we check out, that drop off is so drastic. It's just it's not even that. I mean, you like you said, if we are clinical with two of those shots, the game's over. If Bruno's clinical one time, the game's over. Garnacho's clinical one time, the game over. And Garnacho, I'm okay to give him a little, you know, a little blind because he's young and he's got that youthful energy. I think as time comes, he's going to get a lot more calm and savvy with the ball and realize the situation a lot more. Oh, the pass that Rashford get to Garnacho, that was crazy. But yeah, we're being clinical is we win games easy, and then we make it hard when we don't make them because we get out of position. We're still prone to have these silly, ridiculous turnovers. I mean, it's like we turn it over for no reason. Bruno's for fault for a lot of that. And this team, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde. You want to say, like, oh, okay, they're winning to do things better. But then you're like, I'm telling you, we're one player away from this being a mess, and that's Casemiro. Because if Casemiro's gone, you know who's going to – we got to rely on them, and that's Scotty for another 90 minutes.
The invisible man.
Yeah. So I'm – We're being held together by grip tape, like duct tape right now, and it's scary.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that we started getting results once we had Casemiro, Luke Shaw in there, and Martinez, right, against Wolves. But I want to go back to what you guys said about being that we played the way we did against Luton, right? We're there in the bottom of the table. That's just the way this team plays. If you really see the stats that we give, what, 3 passes per sequence only? We're one of the top teams in speed. So if you really see the way we play more like these counterattack teams. We don't play like a Man City, like an Arsenal, like a Liverpool. So it really shouldn't be that much of a surprise that this is just the way the team plays. Yes, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow to say we're playing that type of style with a bottom tier team. But yet that's what has been getting us results. We don't have those type of technical players to say have 60, 70, 80% percent of the ball, give 18 to 20 shots, and we're going to win 3-1 and control the game. That's not the way that this team has been currently constructed.
You know, I think we're still averaging giving up 20 shots a game.
I also like to add to the conversation, we won the game.
Yeah, we won the game.
How many games, because everybody has a short memory, so like, how many games did we have like this with Fergie? A lot. We had a lot of games like this. We had a lot of games where we had to grab. We had a lot of smash and grab games like we've had this season where we had to come out of there with 3 points and just score a goal and find the goal out of nowhere. We've had a lot of games where we turned it over in the second half. And then we've had games where we've completely capitulated. We're not, like I said, our level is not up there with the teams you've named. Germ, you know, our level, we're down there with Aston Villa. That was our most definitive win of the season against a good Villa side, you know what I'm saying? But you know, just even think about them, they're kind of overachieving at that what they're doing now. You wouldn't have came in the season and said Aston Villa would be this high with who they have good players, but you wouldn't say they'd be doing as good as well as they're doing now. So they're a little bit overachieving, right? I don't know. I will take 3 points at this point. However, I can get them.
That's very true. We can't just start like you said. We can't. We gotta relax. We did get the 3 points. Just understand how we are as a team. How we're constructed. Where we currently are. We're not like you've mentioned. We're not those type of elite teams at the moment. We gotta get results. How we can get them.
Well, speaking of those elite teams, we are chasing those teams. And we're trying to get into the Champions League position. I believe we are 8 out of 4th. Because the reason why I bring up 4th, and I'm not too sure how accurate I am on this. I was told that we are at risk. Even if we finish 5th, we might not get Champions League. Yes, we'll still get Europe. But just by the simple fact that we finished bottom of our group in the Champions League, that we want to get awarded that 5th place Champions League spot. So, but then someone else told me today that, no, England is going to be guaranteed at least 5 spots.
We get 4 spots because of how good the league is.
Right.
Off top. So, based on the coefficient, it's these other teams like the Ukrainians and
Yeah. I understand the fourth, but I'm saying
we gotta get four.
I think Casey was arguing about, not arguing, but he was mentioning about the fifth. Getting fifth was somewhat put us in the running to get Champions League.
I feel like it has to be something special for that to happen.
No, yeah.
It has to be like somebody wins up top to open up an extra spot for us to
get. Yeah, fourth is definitely the goal. But yeah, is that realistic? You think fourth is realistic? Villa's what, sitting in fourth? Is that who's sitting in fourth? Is that a realistic chase? Villa. How many points are we away from Villa? But the point is, Mikey, we are winning. Jeremy, we are winning. And that's a lot better where we were a month ago.
I mean, those teams are going to play against each other, right? Yeah. Aston Villa and Tottenham.
And we still have some big games left.
Yeah, we do.
We have some big games
left. I'm liking that. The big game is the one, the Man City one. That's the one. I mean, that's... I know I'm getting a little too carried away, but that's...
Yeah, so that is a big game. I'm really not trying to absorb that game yet. I believe we have Fulham next.
Yeah.
Fulham is going to be a tricky one. Is that home or away?
Thought it was home.
I'm not sure.
So my question was...
That's a home game.
Top four is a reality. We could get top four. The thing that was going to benefit us, we still need to get healthy. I don't know what's going on with Luke Shaw. They said that they're still assessing him. I saw that today. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is 2 to 4 weeks away. Martinez, they said his rehab is going a lot better than previous expected. They said we should get him back in March? And I don't know how true that is. I don't know who our doctors is. I have no faith in our training staff at all. But
what about Tyler was in Malaysia? What about him?
They said there's no timeline for him to come back. I don't know. I'm this guy. I think when you have these injuries like this, and I'm pretty sure Ineos is thinking, listen, Ineos is going to clean house. Whether it be injuries, bad contracts, the cook, so forth, they're going to get rid of everybody.
The medical staff from top down to who feeds them, what they feed them.
I mean, in the way Ineos is moving, since this is a good segue in Ineos, the way they're moving, I love it. It makes sense. I mean, it's not going to prove that we get results, but they're bringing in the right people. This Dan, free Dan Ashworth. it's crazy what's going on with him. Newcastle, he's already turned in his letter of recognition, said, I want to be out. I want to go to United. Someone slapped me in my face. I want to go to United. And Newcastle responded by saying, oh, cool. We need all your codes. Get out the office and tell United we need $20 million. Is Newcastle right for acting this way?
100%.
100%. He knows all the secrets.
Yeah.
He knows all. He's put the blueprint together.
If we have a business together, right, and you're the guy that supposedly has the secret sauce and knows what we do, that you know what our transfer targets are, you know what we're looking to do with the squad going for the next 3 years. You know who we're looking to sign, what we plan to do. Why do you think you could leave here with the company laptop? No, any job that you're at, even me, I just left Fulton County. That's in Atlanta. And I work over here by my house now, right? They took the damn computer back. they took away my access card. You can't get access to the building here. You're a civilian now. But it's good that it's not good for us, but, you know, Newcastle knows we're Big Man United.
Ain't that shitty on for them?
But didn't they do the same thing?
Manchester United. They know they're going to go. They can get money from us. Okay, $20 million. You want them so bad? $20 million. Where you at? And we'll probably end up saying, we'll give you 10, and that'd be that. You're not coming back to work.
Well, who's... Yeah.
Go ahead, Jerem. Go ahead.
Who's going to do that negotiation? Because I guarantee it should not be any of the Glazers people. It needs to be any of those people to get that done.
You think we even got time to even negotiate that? It's almost, you got to pay this and be out, bro. We got to get him in the house.
You got got time. What's the rush?
What's the rush, Mike?
What's the rush? We have six. We have six or so odd months until. How many months till the off season? Four. We have 4 months till the off season.
Yeah, but I feel like Ineos is trying to have everybody ready in the office and parking spots assigned, codes, everything ready, because you figure if we wait till.
You prepare that now. You prepare it now and do. You prepare everything behind the scenes now, and then you start doing your negotiation. Because he's not. He's already said, I'm not coming back to work here.
Yeah, so why wait? If we're going to end up paying $20 million in summer, pay it now. Let's get it over with.
I don't think $20 million is what he'll.
We'll end up. I've learned heard the lowest is probably 15.
I did hear that. 50's at 15.
Listen, Newcastle's spiteful right now. They ain't trying to. They felt like they got done wrong because they did Brighton like little guy. Like, oh, we're just going to take your director of football.
They thought they're playing with the big players up top now.
Yeah, they got big cheese. Like, they got Saudi money. They're like, oh, yeah, we are doing it. We're living life.
Now they just got little brother, right?
They got son.
They got son, sorry.
they got son really bad.
By D United.
They got D United
because they probably feel salty that when they say United, it's, oh, that's not Newcastle.
They called them up like, yo, check it out. I just took the job at United.
You did
all,
what?
All the rumors you heard was true. I just took the job. I'm gonna be going there, so it's been real. I'm trying to be resurrect a real club.
But Mikey's speaking some truth right there. I mean, if it was you put yourself in for business, if that was your business, of course you will be. I don't know if you'll say petty, but you'll be like, okay, give me this stuff. Give me 20 mil if you really want them that bad.
If I'm Newcastle, yeah. I'm holding out for the whole 22.
Exactly.
While I get someone in. I get my new director of football in. I'm spiteful. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need that whole 20. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So you can't blame them for doing what they're doing.
Issues. They got FFP issues, too. They can't. They need something out the deal for the accounting. They need a sizable amount to put towards for next season to get guys in. So $20 million is actually apropos as an asking, you know?
It is.
It's done pretty dirty, but...
It's so, and it's crazy. I saw some of the Talk Sport talking about United should be ashamed of themselves because they said United. I thought they didn't want big name people. Now they're just gonna go take the big name, the celebrity hire. Like, no, this is the best dude out there. We taking the best.
If United wants to be, I mean, we are the best club, right? But if we want to be up there, number one, you got to get the best people. You have to attract the best talent to your squad. So you can produce the best results.
And he kind of chose us. He could have said no. He could have been like, I like what's going on in Newcastle. I like the project. That man took the phone call.
That's another thing. So, like, if you talk to Jordy, you talk to Newcastle fans in general, right?
I've talked to one.
I talked to a lot of them. They don't like where their trajectory is now because they haven't bought a lot.
Right.
In terms of, like, they got Tonali, but Tonali's out with the gambling and, you know, the Trippier and the guys like that. But they haven't started that second phase of what we saw.
City Ascension, yeah.
It was like, okay, we did the Joe Hart, we did the Rodrigo thing. Now we're going to go in for real blood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to go and find. Like, they haven't done that yet, and now the results are starting to not... They've dropped. They've dropped
from... Yeah, they've dropped. They're very beatable now. They're very beatable.
They're below us now. Yeah, so, you know, they got to get something out this deal, and money is probably...
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to get something.
The Jordy I talked to, he was like, it's like we just paused again. It's like we climbed, and then now it's like, you guys woke up and said, all right, so we're trying to grow now, so y'all just... Give us what you got. Thank you. We need this to go take to the next level. And you guys need to build a new stadium to catch up because the only way y'all going to be able to compete is, yeah, you got money, but you can't spend it.
Yeah. It's not like before. You can
That's
just start
tough
money
for them.
Money.
Reality hit them real because last year they were singing and happy. Mm-hmm. We got $1 billion in the bank and all this. And now it's like, you can't spend it, bro.
I got a family member like that. He's a Newcastle a United fan. I haven't talked to him. I'm about to rub it in him tonight.
Just ask him how does it feel.
Exactly.
Because we're dead. We're a dead club. We ain't supposed to be doing this. We're done. And we're
finished.
As soon as we got someone who made sense, like, okay, we need to get the best football people in here. We hit up City's guy. Omar's like, yeah, cool. City people shunned us. He didn't do nothing for us. Oh, he ran 13 of your clubs. Mm-hmm. Don't say he didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Newcastle now is like, we need money. We need money. Because Newcastle considers themselves a big club. Mm-hmm. But someone's bigger.
Yes.
And that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're doing things right. We're getting the best people in here. And it's a really telltale sign when you see a lot of these big media outlets not really talking about us like that, like we're making the correct decisions.
It's crazy how the media treats Manchester United. It's first of all, we're feeding all of them. But it's like, no matter what we do, it's wrong. You know, they're supposed to beat Luton like that. You're supposed to do that. Oh, so you guys should have had these big-time football people a long time ago. You forgot who ran the club all this time. Now they're getting mad at us for getting it right. Like, this is something you should have did 15 years ago. Okay, we're doing it now. Enjoy the ride.
Exactly.
Enjoy the ride. But it's a positive time. You know, I think Eric Ten Hag, I trip off people who are still questioning Eric Ten Hag. I was a questioning person of Ten Hag, but I truly believe right now that he's the type of coach where if he has his guys, he will put in something that will perform and win games. I'm a fully firm believer that Eric Ten Hag is the guy to go forward. I'm glad that all the replacement coach talk has.
Wow. Thanks, Casey. I don't think you should be saying this right now in front of Mikey right now.
No, listen.
I mean, we did have a show once. You and I said we're questioning Eric Ten Hag.
We
wanted to preface it. We're not saying we're Eric Ten Hag out.
We just had to question some things, some tactics, some players that he was using. You're allowed to question somebody without and still support them. Let me tell you, my mom used to question a lot of things I did in life, but she supported me. So, you know. That happens.
I want to pull this up because I wanted to see Mikey as soon as you said that. I wanted to see.
Oh, he was clapping. He's feeling it.
Yeah,
he's feeling it. But there's still some people now. Right?
There is people out that are Eric Ten Hag.
I don't get some people who I think they're actually miserable that we're winning.
I still see people out there Eric Ten Hag out. The play style now. Now it's the play style.
Where's the Sancho supporters at? Talking about he didn't get an opportunity. He's one of our Sancho's failing at Dortmund.
He hasn't,
you know. So where's all that right now? So Eric Ten Hag has definitely made the right move. People say Ten Hag got rid of Sancho because he had favorites. No, maybe Anthony was doing more in practice. Maybe Eric Ten Hag was right. He was having a shit practice. So I don't know.
People aren't saying this though. Eric Ten Hag has dropped Anthony, and look what's happening.
Exactly.
They're not giving him no credit for that. They're like,
they're not.
Let him stay on too long. I'm like, bro, you're good. This is your guy that won you a championship at one point in time.
And he's starting Kobe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's done. He's a starter. The only thing that Eric Ten Hag could probably do better is the Bruno thing.
The Amad thing. We need to see
Amad. Yeah, that's another one. God, that's another show. Ahmad thing is crazy.
I don't know why Ahmad can't get 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Why can't he get 10 minutes? Why can't he get for just because we're burning? Because we're going to talk about people playing a lot. Garnacho's playing a lot of games.
Yeah. He is.
At 18 years old, he's playing a lot of games. And he's inexperienced. Like, we got an older guy that scored goals in Italy, that scored in the Champions League. Okay, before he went to Sunderland, scored goals at Sunderland, and he's sitting away wasting on the bench. Let's give him a run out. And he's an older kid.
It'll be nice to see like a fresh, give some teams something else they could see differently. I think Ahmad is qualified enough to play and start a match and let Garnacho have a break. But that's the risk. Go ahead.
We paid money for this.
A lot of money for him.
He's not an academy kid.
We no.
Paid like $20 million.
Yeah, he's making decent money. He's making good first team wages. And I think that's one thing, Eric Ten Hag. I think he's loyal to a fault in some ways. But he could run guys into the ground now. You know, sometimes you might want to give give him a little break. And I think that's something he could do with.
That's valid about Garnacho because he is playing a lot of minutes at 19. And one thing he could run into is, I know he's not a rookie, but like we say it over here in the U.S., right? You hit that rookie wall, right?
Yeah.
Once you, yeah, because you're playing so much more minutes that you're not accustomed to, and they can be hard minutes, right?
Yeah.
So once you hit that wall, we start seeing him struggle. Media could be out there like, oh yeah, he's not the real deal, but it's more about just letting him get some rest as a young guy, 19.
Yeah, true. Well, we got about 5 minutes. I'm just gonna give everybody a heads up. You know, the thing is with everybody in the club situation right now, Mikey said it, Germ said it, everybody has to realize we're here to support the team. We want the team to do well. So, you know, when you see positive things, it's not. Listen, when I left the pub, I was lit. I had a good time. I was excited.
This is a good segue. I think Casey. This is a good segue, Casey.
Here's the segue. So, you know, I think my tweet was it was a shit performance, but it was an earned win and a much needed 3 points.
You were still able to tweet?
All right, so let's get into it. So, there are some pictures going around. I decided to go to a golf tournament. Shout out to my boy Biza, the walking VIP, Mr. Walking VIP. You know, I'm chilling with the guys. Shout out to Bubba Jeff and Dirty Hamster holding me down. And then my boy's like, Case, you know, let's go to the Tiger Woods golf tournament. And I'm like, oh, cool, peak, let's do it, you know. Because listen, life is a wave. I ride waves. I'm like a surfer. So when I'm going to go, you know, I'm a big game surfer. So when you see that big wave, I'm going to paddle out. I'm trying to catch it. So someone's like, you know, we're going to go to this tournament, check it out. I'm like, yeah, I never experienced a golf tournament. Let's go do it.
Really?
So what got me is we got to the Riviera Country Club. It was a pregame in the parking lot. Everybody's like, oh, drink, whatever, just have a good time, whoop-de-whoop. And I was like, all right, cool. So this is, you know, we'll do it here. We'll go inside. We got in the golf tournament. Shout out to, first of all, we snuck in the golf tournament, which is ghetto. We get in the golf tournament. We're in the VIP section. So they just assumed we were VIP. So everything was free. So every time I looked up, someone was like throwing two at me. You want two of them? We got you with one. You got two. It was a nice day, so I'm throwing drinks down like a rookie. Oh, I was doing some rookie movements there. Now, walking a golf course is not what I thought it was. Yeah. It's real. There's hills. It was a little rain before, so the grass was slippery. Mm-hmm. So when we get to about the 11th hole, my G's, I'm realizing I'm deep in the golf tournament, and I'm like, bro, I need to go home. This is it. I'm done. This is at the 11th hole. So they're like, no, you're going to make it. We get to the 13th hole. I'm now like, man, I'm looking for somewhere to lay down, man. I can't do this no more. They're like, let's go to the 18th hole. Go to the 18th hole. So I go there early. Beautiful hill. Nice view. Nice cool breeze. So I'm like, I'm about to lay down right here. Oh. I fell asleep, passed out. My boy's like, all right, tournament's over. You got to go. We got to go. I'm telling them no. I'm going to tell them I had food poisoning. I'm going to call my lawyer. I'm going to sue you guys if you don't get me an Uber home. Medical attention. So they went and got a cart for me. Shuttled all my boys to the end of the tournament. Oh, my God, oh my guys. God. I felt like sophomore year of college, like I was pledging and I was just drinking way too much. I don't know where I lost control. Shout out to my boy, Jeff. He pulled his calf, carried me up the hill. So I think he's a little pissed off at me right now. It was a bad one, man. I took a L. There's pictures floating. People are like, you look like Kanye on the cart because you had your face covered. Everybody thought it was Kanye West getting whizzed out because didn't see me with two big guys. So they thought it was Kanye security because I had my face covered.
Yeah.
And then they had me down. But I took took a L. I took a big L. And I'm not new to this. You know what I'm saying?
So that's what was most surprising. I'm like, yo, this is my boy Casey. He knows how to hold it together.
I had the Bambi legs getting carried out of there. I've talked to him like, no, just leave me here. I don't want to go. But I got to end it. We're at the 10-minute mark. That's we'll talk more about it next week. We'll go into it earlier in the show. But this is it's casual show. This is my man Mikey. He'll be on every week with me. Jerm will be here as much as he can. We'll have a guest next week. I think we're going to have Patch with us and Amani, the president of the LAFC group. I mean, LAFC. LA. MULA, Manchester United. I'm having a stinker. The president of our support group in Los Angeles, and we're going to have another good show. And listen, we got Fulham. We're going to keep the wins going. Every week is going to be a positive note. And anything you guys want to say? Your socials, you want them to hit you at, Mikey?
Yeah, hit me up. Twitter, Munich Boy Mikey. On Instagram, Eastside United FC. And I just want to say, man, you know, make sure you eat before you drink,
guys. Yeah. True that. Jerm, any parting words?
Hey, man, let's just support the club. Let's get another W.
Right. Oh, shout out to Red Devil Threads. I don't know if I can get it in there. Got on my Cantona Red Devil Threads. Shout out. Hey, guys, this has been It's Casual. This is a Manchester United support show and things. We're here just to talk, learn, vibe, and support the club. And right now it's positive vibes. Everybody should be in a good vibe.
Shout out to you, Mike.
Yeah, Mikey.
Guys, y'all have a good week.
Up the fucking Reds. Everybody have a good week, man.
You're listening to I'm going to get Mikey's name put on here. With Casey Gale.
Because you can come on North again?
Tuesdays?
Yeah.
If you're doing it Tuesdays, I should be able to come more consistent. I'm going to put Mike
in. All right, we'll do it.
No, if it's Tuesdays, I'm straight.
That was good.
We can do this Tuesday. This was good. It's a good first time to...